reading to you from the 5th chapter of Romans, and with the first verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though now whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand and exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago. Hey, did you know this month, 1946, the 5th of March, I walked out of the Bremerton Navy Yard. I got my discharge. And 10 days later, I eloped with my girlfriend. We got married, been married for 61 years now. To God be the glory. And hadn't been for Jesus, we wouldn't have been together 5 minutes. Listen, be with you for an hour and a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee, a glass of iced tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Luke, and let's turn to the 21st chapter, and let's begin reading in the 25th verse. And there will be signs in sun, in moon, and stars, and upon the earth, dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I'd like to speak about handling end time pressures. Oh, dear friends, we're under pressure. You're under pressure. Our world's under pressure. But listen, Christ, who died and rose again, will come again. Now, many scriptures describe conditions before his return. Now, our text reveals some difficult days ahead. The triple terror of the last days and how to handle them. And, oh, friends, you know that's why I say read the Bible. Look in his holy word. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to die. He tells us how to be saved. You're not living in a world of no one knows because he's telling us. Now, distress, perplexity, and fear will be epidemic. But listen to me. I got some good news for you. The Holy Spirit equips believers to triumph over those two things. Now, we are distressed when, but the Holy Spirit will give us comfort. You know what it says in John 14? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you, how long? Forever. He said there's going to be distress of nations. Oh, my dear friends, you don't have to be overly intelligent to watch the TV. And every nation in the world is going through problems. Not only financial problems, they're trying to build atomic bombs. There's floods, there's tsunamis, there's earthquakes. You name it, we've had it. Would it be wrong of me to tell you that God is trying to get the world's attention? He sure is. Every time something like this happens, we ought to listen to the Lord. We ought to look at His Word and see what we're supposed to do. Now, here's the definition of distress: an afflicted, wretched, or exhausted condition, a state of extreme need. Well, our greatest need in distress is comfort. Oh, you saw what happened down in Georgia. You know, I used to live in Georgia. And that big, beautiful school should have took care of those kids, but it collapsed. And 8 of those young kids died. But you know what? I'll bet you there's a lot of people will be in church next Sunday. See, when something like that happens, people begin to think, wow, you know, life could be over at any moment, and it can. How about those kids riding in that school bus or baseball team? My stars, that must have been an experience. This one boy said, I remember when we hit the railing and we go over the side, and I saw the ground coming up at me. And I thought, oh boy, this is it. But God let him live. Now, there was a reason God let him live. Maybe God's going to call that young man to be a missionary, a preacher. Maybe God's just going to call him to be a good, sound witness for Jesus. See, our greatest need in distress is comfort from somebody, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. You know, He tells us in John 16:33, in this world we have trouble. The things I have spoken to you that you may have peace in the world. You have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world, friends. Listen, that's why He went to the cross, to pay for our sins. See, when our great-great-grandparents sinned in the garden, everything was beautiful. No sin, no problem. Everything was going beautiful. But God did say something to them. He said, now look, you can have anything you want. Anything you want, but please don't eat of this one tree. But you know, I guess Eve was out just having a little stroll, and she looked up and she saw the old serpent. And she saw that fruit was appealing to the eye. Friend, sins is appealing to the eye. Oh, yes, it is. Well, He said, God lied to you, because if you take that fruit, you're going to be as smart as God. Well, immediately she thought, well, that's what I'd like to do. But she made a terrible, terrible mistake. And Adam made a terrible, terrible mistake. But when that happened, sin automatically came into this world. They were cast forth out of the garden. Now, sin has to be paid for. God cannot look on sin. How do I know? Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He became sin, yet He was sinless. He had our sins on Him. And God had to turn His back. He could not look on His Son hanging on the cross for dying for us, because He cannot look on sin. Well, so we have all these problems, and we have to get rid of our sin. You say, well, Cecil, I've heard that if I joined this particular church, I'd be all set. Or if I got baptized, I'd be all right. That's not so, beloved. Satan, again, is throwing a curve at you. He's lying to you, just like he lied to Adam and Eve. No, you must. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. Well, so we have trouble in the world. Excuse me. I've been told by many people, by especially one particular group of religious nuts, they say, once you're saved, your troubles are over. You'll never have to worry about finances. You'll never be sick again. And on and on and on. Well, they're lying through their teeth. The Bible said we will have problems. We will have trouble. Well, we go through things we didn't think we could or would. Am I telling you the truth? Well, we never have to experience trouble alone, because the Holy Spirit lives within the believer's body. Our Comforter is always, always with us. And when we need comfort, when we lose a loved one by death, or when others turn against us, and when events seem to be out of control, the Holy Spirit replaces distress with peace. And the Comforter will never, never let us down. When we are perplexed, the Holy Spirit gives counsel. Perplexed means finding no way out. Listen, friends, I've told this story before, but I want to hear it again. I was in desperate situation, so desperate that I owed $5,000 and I didn't have 35 cents. That's the truth. I get on the phone. First of all, I go in and I throw myself across the bed and I cried out to the Lord, told him all my heartaches and all my discouragements and the problems that I was facing. I got up, I went to the telephone, and I called this friend of mine who was a building contractor. I've known him for years, a wonderful Christian, spent 2 years in Vietnam. And he wasn't a Christian over there either, I'll tell you. Well, anyway, I said, Charlie, I'm calling you because I have a problem. And you know what I need? I need someone like you who prays to pray for me. Well, he said, what's the problem? I said, I don't think I even said what my problem was. I'm not telling you that. He said, is it financial? Well, what am I going to do? Blurt out, no, I'm not going to lie. Well, I said, it probably is part of it. How much? I said, what do you mean how much? How much do you owe? I said, $5,000. Well? I said, wait a minute, Charlie. I did not call. I knew Charlie had the money, too, believe me, because he was a building contractor. I said, I'm not trying to borrow any money from you. I just want you to pray for me. Did you hear me? Pray for me, Charlie. That's it. He said, let me call you back in a couple of minutes. So he hung up, and pretty soon he called back, and he said, hey. He said, I got a job for you. I said, I'm no longer in business. I'm retired. I don't have any equipment. He said, I told you I had a job for you. Now you figure out how you can do the job. The next day, in the mail, here was a fresh, clean check for $5,000. I hadn't even done the job. But you know what? I paid off my bills. And did you know I got enough men together and I leased some equipment? I went down and knocked out the job. After I paid off my material and my bill, I had an extra $5,000 left. There was no way out. I was perplexed. But the Holy Spirit gave me counsel. Let me ask you, friend, do you feel trapped by your problems? Well, you need direction of the Lord. It tells us in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. See, he's waiting for you to call upon him. Now, don't be afraid to cry if you have to. Tears are bottled in heaven. Tears are not a sign of weakness. Our Savior cried at Lazarus' tomb. When Jesus was with his disciples, he taught them all these things. And after the departure of Jesus, the Holy Spirit taught them. He enabled them to remember. He guided them into all truth. He taught them what to say. The Holy Spirit does this for Christians even today. He will guide you through these perplexing times. And he knew it was coming, and he knows the way out of it. You know, friends, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of churches who think they have the corner on God's Holy Spirit. Now, what do they teach? Tongues, healing, and miracles. That's all they teach. And I'm telling you, they'll tell you lies out of completely out in the Bible. Like I said before, they say that you will never be sick. They say you will never have a financial problems. Well, they're wrong. The Bible said we will. Who do you believe, them or the Bible? When we are fearful, the Holy Spirit imparts faith. In John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Listen, men's hearts were failing them for fear. When we are afraid, we need increased faith. Fear and faith are absolute opposites. As faith increases, fear decreases. Now, how the Holy Spirit imparts faith? Well, first of all, through the Bible, through experience, through answered prayer. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, my stars, you hear that almost at every funeral you ever go to. I heard that 3 times at my mom's funeral, my sister's funeral, my dad's funeral. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, my stars, what a comforting, comforting chapter in the Bible. But let me tell you what. Stop quenching God's Holy Spirit. Accept His comfort when you are distressed. Accept His counsel when you're perplexed. And accept His peace when you're afraid. Oh, dear friends, these difficult times are signs that our Lord will soon return. Someone said, well, I've heard this many times. Well, when's He going to return? Well, I don't know. The Father knows. Oh, there's those who years have been prophesying, well, He'll be here this time. The Seventh Day Adventist said He'd be here back in 1917, I believe. And then, well, He didn't come back then, so they decided they'd figure out another angle. And I don't know how many denominations have tried to pinpoint the return of Jesus. The Bible says that He will come as a thief in the night. So you need to be ready. Like I said, these kids on this bus. Now, I hope they were ready. They killed, 8 people or 6 people were killed. No one knows. Over here on our highway is my wife and I. We go to the prison to preach in my quartet. This man and his wife and his little girl was going down the highway. Now, the highway was going to put a bridge across the interstate. And did you know they drove underneath that and that great big huge girder fell on top of that car and killed the 3 of them instantly? Do you think they thought that they would be out in eternity when they were driving off to church? They sure didn't. But they sure were. Friends, I want to ask you tonight. You say, well, Cecil, I'm going through all these things that you talked about tonight. I'm distressed. I'm perplexed. What am I going to do? Just what I told you. Let God's Holy Spirit lead you. I've told you this many times. There wouldn't be half as many divorces in the world today if men and women would pray that the Lord would lead them to the one He wants them to get married to. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. You and I wouldn't be in half the problems that we have today if we would wait on the Lord and ask Him to give us what we need in the time we need it. And He will. Well, you say, Cecil, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Well, I'll tell you what to think. If you are perplexed tonight, you need to bow your head and say, Lord God, Cecil said something tonight that you are concerning God, and your blessed Holy Spirit will comfort me. Oh, God, I'm leaning on you right now. If you're unsaved and you feel it tugging at your heart right now, I want you to bow your head and pray this powerful prayer. Beloved, please don't pray it if you don't mean it. And here's how it goes. Oh, dear Lord, I want to ask you to forgive my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm hell-bound and hell-deserving, but I don't want to go there. And so, Lord, right now I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you call me at 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I sure don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. So if you're under pressure tonight and you don't know what to do, you call on the Lord. If you're a Christian, call on him. Tell him that you didn't mean to quench his spirit, but you want to know the answer. You want to know the truth, and he'll give it to you. Search the scriptures. All your answers are in this book. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Listen, if you can't afford to make this call, call me, collect.
Yes, when he
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please continue to pray for my wife and I's health and pray for our quartet as we go to prisons. Just pray that God will bless us. Pray for our women's work. And do pray that we'll be able to see many, many precious souls saved. I hope and pray I send these tapes all over America. And I hope and pray they help somebody. Boy, if they didn't, I'd quit tomorrow. But I want to encourage the Christian. I want to reach the lost. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I guarantee I met Jesus 51 years ago in a drunken condition, so I do know what Jesus can do for a person. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.